This is The Briefing with Steve Scully on POTUS, Sirius XM Channel 124, and anytime on the SXM app.
I one time made the remark that polls are crack cocaine for political journalists and radio talk show hosts because, look, they're interesting. They're a snapshot. They tell you the mood of the country and where things are heading. The more important polls are the state-by-state polls that we saw, for example, last week in the New York Times or earlier from Stack Data Strategy, showing that right now in states like Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Donald Trump would beat Joe Biden in a head-to-head matchup. But there's also the focus groups, which I think give you more of the emotion of how people are feeling about the candidates. And so with that, joining us from suburban Philadelphia is Rich Tao. He is the moderator of the Swing Voter Project. Hey, Rich, welcome back to the program. Thank you for being with us.
Great to be back, Steve.
So let's talk about how you approach a focus group and what our audience needs to know about them.
So we do this project every month called the Swing Voter Project, where we interview via Zoom Trump to Biden voters. These are people who voted for Trump in 2016, then Biden in 2020. So they're in that persuadable category. And this most recent set of groups that we did were people who live in Arizona. So we rotate swing states from month to month, covering Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and so forth. And this month we did Arizona.
So we have some excerpts, fascinating conversations, and here is one since we just ended the last segment on the situation inside the Gaza Strip on how voters are viewing the president's handling of the situation in Israel, in the Middle East. Let's listen.
Well, I think we have to support our partners. I don't know about the funding. I mean, it seems like we're just dumping money into Ukraine and Israel. Obviously, if they need the help, it needs to be reciprocated. They need to give us something in return. But I think that we need to support our allies.
He's showing support, and he's trying to handle it the best, I think, diplomatic, best, safest, conservative way possible.
With the other eight respondents, there's a lot more ambiguity.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence. I philosophically, I think he's in the right place. But I think he's hamstrung, like, you know, the folks over in Israel themselves are. So how do you fight a war in a civilian area?
And so as we listen to that, and again, the situation inside Gaza and the divisions between pro-Israeli and pro-Palestinian forces in this country is really growing, Rich.
Yeah, so it was interesting, Steve. These folks, I'll give you some context. Of the 11 respondents I had across Arizona, all of them, again, Trump to Biden voters, only half of them said they're paying close attention to the news of what's happening in that war. That's part one. Part two, I asked them whether they approved or disapproved of Biden's handling. Only three approved. None of them actively disapproved. The other eight are just, they're not sure. They're still making up their minds. They're still trying to figure out what it is exactly that Biden is doing. So there's a lot of ambiguity for them, a lot of mixed feelings about how Biden is handling this. So it's not clear cut the way it often is on a lot of other issues.
And Rich, a week from today, the President of the United States will turn 81 years old. So an early happy birthday to the President. I'm sure the White House does not want to be reminded. But look, it happens every year. Age is something we all have to deal with. But politically, this has become one of the leading issues that Joe Biden has had to deal with as he asked voters for another term, which means he would be 86 if he stays healthy and survives two full terms. You focused on that as well. Let's listen.
How many of you think President Biden is showing signs of senility? So three of you.
He's too frail. I didn't know of these health issues.
Depression, forms of anxiety. He looks like he has some type of Lou dementia, where his motor skills aren't, you know, functioning properly. He looks like he's stumbling a lot, so there's a balance issue.
What is the one emotion you feel the most when you see President Biden on TV or on your device?
Confusion.
Concerned.
Yes, concern.
Joe?
frail.
He makes you feel frail?
Yeah. It makes me feel the country's frail.
So, Rich, as we listen to that, and of course, I am reminded that Ronald Reagan had the age issue. He was 73, and he was able to win 49 out of 50 states. Other subsequent presidents running for re-election, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, they all faced some troubling poll numbers a year and a half out. But the big difference, they could pivot on policy, and they were all young. Biden can pivot on policy. He's 81 years old in 1 week.
And that's a huge liability for him, Steve. So you played my asking one of the two sessions about whether they thought Biden was showing signs of senility, and 3 out of 6 in that group said that. 2 out of 5 in the other session said it. So 5 out of 11 in total told me the president is showing signs of senility. And to me, that's a really, really huge problem for him, because they don't think that he shares their concerns. He doesn't share their worldview because he's so much older than they are. That's part of the challenge that he faces. And Trump faces it too, frankly, but just not to the same degree in terms of the age liability. But month after month, I didn't do it this month, but a number of times this year, I've asked people what they think the ideal age is for someone to be president. And the answers almost uniformly come back from the mid from the early to the mid 50s, somewhere between 52 and 55. Almost everybody will give you that number. Not everybody, but most. And then I ask, what's the oldest acceptable age for someone to be president? And the answers tend to be in the mid-60s. So consider Biden will be at the next election, 81, just about 82, which is 17 years above the oldest acceptable age. You've got Trump will be about 14 years older than the oldest acceptable age. So these respondents tell me over and over again, every single month, they want new choices. They don't want either one of these guys. And that's one of the biggest liabilities is tied to, again, Biden's age.
So again, we're talking to Rich Tao of the Swing Voter Project. As you talk to these voters on the age issue, and if you're going to talk to, not that you would, but if you're going to talk to Democrats to the White House, how do they deal with this issue? Can they confront this head on?
Well, I'm not in the business of giving direct advice to either side, so I have to make that clear up front.
Exactly.
From the president's perspective, I'm not sure how you turn this around. I mean, obviously, they're trying now to point out a number of Trump's verbal gaffes and some of his episodes of not sounding coherent and making it sound like, well, it's not just Biden, it's also Trump. Maybe that will work. Maybe that won't. I don't know. You know, we don't live in a Benjamin Button world where people get younger as time goes by. They get older. So I think that's a real issue for the White House. And I think the other thing they can do is try to draw people's attention to the president's achievements. But again, when I ask people about them, a lot of these swing voters have no idea what President Biden has done while he's in office. I hear complaints that he hasn't done anything in nearly 3 years in office. So there's a huge gap between what's being said and what's being heard.
And that is a real problem when it comes to communication, because look, when you're an incumbent president, you got to run on your record and run on what you want to do for a second term. It's very different. When he ran in 2020, he simply had to attack Donald Trump. In the COVID environment, it worked for him.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a very different thing with the shoes on the other foot now, and Biden has to defend a record, and he has to do it in the context of what people generally consider, at least my swing voters consider, a difficult economy where there's a lot of complaining, particularly about inflation.
One more moment, and in order to set this up, let's talk about Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is now running as an independent. Who is he pulling votes from?
So that's really interesting. So every month I ask people, if the race were between Trump and Biden, just the two of them, who would they take? And this month, and it's pretty consistent compared to other months as well, 8 said they would take Biden, 3 said they would take Trump. For the first time, I inserted Robert Kennedy as a third choice, and here's what happened. 8 of those, Biden started off with 8 voters. He would hold on to 5, and 3 of those would go to Robert Kennedy. Among Trump's 3, all 3 of those would go to Robert Kennedy. So rather than being 8-3, if you will, it became 5-0-6. 6 for Kennedy.
Wow. Well, let's listen to that moment from your most recent focus group. Again, Rich Tao joining us from just outside Philadelphia.
Trump's a shit show right now, and Biden's old, and I'm not sure he could survive another term.
I don't have faith in Trump, and I'm losing faith in Biden. He's giving away too much money. The border is a mess. Immigration's a mess. I think a fresh new face in the White House might be what the country needs.
Well, I like the Kennedys. I would look at the past with their family, you know, for the ones that have ran and the one that helped run this country. That would be my reason why I would like to choose a Kennedy to come back into office.
Rich Tao, as you listen to that, fascinating, because even some of RFK Jr.'s family members don't want him to run for president.
Well, setting aside the Kennedy family dynamics, what's clear to me, and Steve, this did not really surprise me terribly much, is that with people not wanting Trump or Biden, it seemed like a lot of them would peel off and go to any viable sounding third candidate. And in this case, it happens to be Robert Kennedy Jr. We'll see where Cornel West goes, where in terms of who he might draw from. Jill Stein announced that she's running, whether she'd pull any of these people. But there's such a frustration with this choice and such an unwillingness to want to vote for either one. It's really for these people like choosing between the fifth place team and the sixth place team. And they rather not choose either. They want something else. And Robert Kennedy Jr., with a name that's familiar, certainly sounds like a viable choice to a lot of them.
And all eyes also on West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin as he considers a third-party bid. Rich Tao, he is the moderator of the Swing Voter Project, and we're going to stay in close touch as this campaign season continues to unfold. Thank you, Rich, for being with us.
A delight to be back. Thanks so much, Steve.